This is episode 489. How did we go from love me at any size to stick me with any needle or scalpel if it makes me smaller in just under 5 years? Today, I'm talking about some pretty uncomfortable topics that might piss you off. The toxicity of the fat acceptance and body positivity activists that are leading you away from being healthy. And if you want to know how to unravel these toxic narratives that might have made their way into your mind, then keep on listening. Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Matty Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin. What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another episode. We are going to have some real talk today. It might be a little bit uncomfortable. It might be direct, but honestly, I think many people are in need of a friend or a mentor or somebody that's going to deliver it honestly. And honestly is often uncomfortable. I have been the bearer of this news for many people, but I've also received lots of very heavy stuff from people telling me where I'm dropping the ball or where I'm going astray or where I'm going in the wrong direction or if my ideas or beliefs are hitting me and the people around me in a way that's damaging. And so I want to talk to you today about this healthy at every size, body positivity, fat acceptance movement, which is bullshit. But I'm going to come straight out of the gate. And the reason that it's bullshit is because it's a massively hypocritical crowd of people, because secretly all of those people really either are dieting or they're trying to do things that reduce their weight and size, or they feel a deep sense of shame and embarrassment and judgment from other people. And your feelings don't lie. There's very few people that get up in those every day in those bodies, including the activists, the overweight, significantly overweight activists of fat acceptance and body positivity. You can't tell me that they look in the mirror every day and think, I am amazing. Because there's some part of their evolutionary psychology that's saying, this is not good. This is a danger to our health. Now, all of those people, funnily enough, and there's been some big public activists for fat acceptance, whether it be Adele or Lizzo. Oh my God, Lizzo's story is a fucking abomination. And you've got these famous people that were all fat and proud of who they were until Ozempic came along, or until they decided, actually, I do hate myself. The thing that I've been touting all of the time about healthy at every size and fat acceptance and wear people too and all of this fucking bullshit. And then they go and get surgery. Like, what do you think that says to the people that you're trying to lead and accept themselves? One, in the first place, you are actually just bullshitting and lying to those people, right? Because the reason that people are attracted to healthy at every size and fat acceptance movements is because it's an easy way out of doing the hard work, right? Doing the real work. And that's the whole point of what we do. We get people to do the real work, and it's uncomfortable and it's imperfect and it's messy and you might go backwards sometimes. But interestingly, when you are somebody that leans into these fat acceptance ideas and that we're people too and all of this kumbaya, blah, 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 rainbow flag bullshit of like, everybody's okay. Your feelings are true all of the time. Guess what? You end up healthy, unwell, deeply shameful, embarrassed about yourself. And I would argue rightfully so, because the point of those feelings is to hold you accountable to yourself. All of us have been marketed to by the fat acceptance movement and healthy at every size movement for years now. But so many of those people went on Ozempic and celebrated their weight loss. And they went and got surgery and appeared all of a sudden 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds, 100 kilos, whatever it is, lighter, and were then celebrated for how beautiful they looked. So hang on, doesn't that mean that maybe you weren't beautiful before? Now, am I saying people aren't beautiful? All right, I've got to put disclaimers in because people love to hear one sentence and be offended by everything. My point is, it's not that you weren't beautiful before. And yes, you're worthy at every size. You're a person of value. You contribute to society when you're overweight. I'm not saying any of that shit. You are not healthy. You are not healthy. And I am not, as somebody that works in this space, I am not an advocate of lying to people or validating them for their poor, terrible choices that they've made for a long time. Celebrating bodies that are the consequence of self-punishment and weakness is not where I want to hang out. That's not the space I want to hang out. And if these words are landing with you right now in a way that you're like feeling offended or hurt, I don't want anyone to be offended or hurt, but in the same way that I've needed to be offended or hurt in order to actually be change or be invited to do something different, see this as an invitation to be like, okay, so being offended or hurt and feeling shameful or embarrassed about my body, maybe those emotions, maybe those experiences within me are an indication that I need to do something, because you should have accountability to other people, but more importantly, you should have self-accountability. And sitting and wallowing in those emotions is not how you use self-accountability. You feel the emotion, it sucks, you might need to sit in it, and I'm a big fan of sitting in the emotion so that you can actually process it. And then you need to acknowledge that that was a signal from your body of self-accountability, right? And you might hate yourself, whatever it is. It might be heavy and awful and really hard, and the temptation to go and just continue being someone who eats their feelings or deals with life with food or binge eating or fast food, that pull is going to be enormous. I used to be a chronic binge eater. Even though I didn't gain much body fat, I was destroying my gut. And still to this day, I suffer the consequence of how hard I used to binge eat my feelings in regards to the damage I did to my body, right? So that's why I work with emotional binge and overeaters, because I get it. I totally understand it. And I feel the pull inside of me sometimes to go back into those habits. But those feelings are signposts to let you know that something's not right. We need to do something. We need to hold ourselves to a better standard. You weren't put on this earth to eat food, be fat, hate yourself, and die, right? So all of this to call out the hypocrisy of the messages that are pumped into people's brains when they're overweight or unwell, and they just get a pat on the back, and rather than somebody saying, "Hey, come on, let's get our shit together, let's get healthy," we're in an era where people get diagnosed with a chronic disease before they're 50, and they just slowly descend into the grave, and those graves are having to get wider and wider, right? Because people are just so complacent, because the system, it's not your fault, by the way, the system is just encouraging you to be complacent. It is designed, the sugar system is designed for you to be complacent. Screens are designed for you to be complacent. The social narrative in Western countries about be careful, you might hurt people's feelings, designed to make everybody weak and complacent, right? We are a society of people, which means we are here to make sure one another is governed by the society, right? And so we put in place the standards by the way that we show up and partake in the society. And what I've found is we're in a world where people want a virtue signal on social media, like healthy at every size, fat acceptance. And then the second they turn their camera off or their podcast mic off, they then go on back onto their smoothie cleanse or their juice diet or their Ozempic injections, or keep looking for surgeons that are going to give them the gastric bypass or cut off their belly fat. It's like we can't be honest with people. We've just got to be tiptoeing around and making sure everybody's warm and fuzzy as everybody descends into absolute chaos, right? In their own body and their own mind. So sure, Ozempic's useful for some people. Sure, surgery's useful for some people. I've worked with plenty of people that have done Ozempic. I've had inquiries from people that wanted to do Ozempic and went and did it and then came back. I've worked with a bunch of people that have had bariatric surgery and then gained all the weight back. So the point here is that getting lost in the hypocritical narratives that are essentially lying to you, all that does is give you an excuse and a reason not to change and not to listen to those heavy, heavy emotions that are within you that are meant to act as self-accountability, right? And then we've got these celebrities that are parading around that all of these things are amazing, which validate, like we all look up to successful people, right? We're social creatures and we live in a hierarchy. That's the reality. And we would all like to be a bit more wealthy, a bit more attractive, a bit stronger, a bit like all of the things that we look up to people. Like they usually, we look up to them because they're things we want. And then we get these successful people that happen to be really unhealthy or overweight. And we look up to them and we're like, oh, okay. So if that person's telling me, someone I look up to is telling me this, then it must be okay. And I'm here to tell you it's not okay because interestingly, a bunch of those fat famous people have now come out and been celebrated for their weight loss and for the way that they've managed their diet or for the Ozempic or for the surgery. And then everybody's in the comments, oh my God, what did you do? How did you do this? When is the Adele diet coming out? And Lizzo was the biggest advocate. She was all about getting overweight dancers on stage and had to fire them because they weren't fit enough. And then she went and lost a heap of weight. It's just, it's insane. Like it's such, so, this highlights the hypocrisy. So I want you to see the hypocrisy and call it out for yourself as well. It's like, shit, I'm enrolling my mind into some of these narratives when actually what I need to do is hear those things with inside me as calls to arms. Like this is a call to arms to show up for myself and be accountable, right? And look, I know the brain is wired for shortcuts. I am exactly the same. I'm a human just like you. I feel the pull of sugar. The first food I had as a baby was literally a cookie. And cookies are my weakness, which isn't me saying I don't have them, right? And sure, maybe I'm not the most jacked guy on the internet, but the point is that I'm a human and I understand that we're wired for shortcuts. It's our psychology that's designed to try to get to the goal faster, right? And we do that when we binge eat because we're trying to get to a goal of comfort usually or happiness. And the same with Ozempic and surgery. We're trying to get to a goal, which is looking in the mirror and actually being happy with who we are. But I can tell you, I've worked with so many people who do the weight loss and they still hate themselves, right? Because they either cheated and they know they cheated. And I know I get these ads for like Juniper and all of these different drugs and surgery clinics where they're like, weight loss surgery isn't cheating. And maybe it's not cheating, but you'll know it's cheating if you still stand in front of the mirror and you hate yourself a few months later, or you find a way to put all of that weight back on over the next 5 or 10 years. Worked with plenty of people like that because they discovered that even after they did the surgery, ruined their gut, struggled to absorb nutrients as a consequence of the surgery, they hadn't actually healed their inner wounds and inner psychology. So they still hated themselves and continued to punish themselves, right? So you could argue, yes, it is cheating. You're trying to cheat, and most cheaters end up paying a price. That's the price that you discover, I still hate myself. Right? So no amount of surgery or Ozempic is going to change a lifelong poor habit streak that you've been on. And you need to work on your mind to change that, or actually be shocked by a diagnosis in many instances, into being someone who's like, I'm going to change forever. But you can't rely on shock therapy to be the thing that finally gets you to change, right? Because everybody's hoping, like, this is what people usually think naively, which is that I'm going to be shocked one day, or I'm going to wake up one day, or I'm just going to decide tomorrow I'm going to be a healthy person. And they think they're going to wake up tomorrow and just be a totally different person. They're just going to be someone who thinks differently and chooses differently and feels no pull towards poor choices and poor foods and poor behaviors that let them down and self-sabotage loops. But transformation never looks like that. It looks like every single day, there's a 1% difference in the way that you manage yourself, which means on day one, there's still 99% of the old you there, right? Pulling you in all the directions, trying to convince you to go down the paths you've been down for a long time, because that's the way that your neurons in your brain feel familiar and safe. And then you might do it for a couple more weeks. Now you're at 2%, right? Arriving at transformation, it just doesn't look like people want it to look like, right? So accepting that it's like, it's going to be hard work. There's going to be a lot of heavy feelings. It's going to be shit. But also I've punished myself and felt shit for the last 40 years, 50 years anyway. So it's like, choose your poison, right? It's like, choose your hard. Either hate yourself binge eating your way into a grave and disease, or progressively hate yourself less as you fall off the bandwagon, self-sabotage, but get back up and keep pushing and redefining who you are. Because I can guarantee you, in either direction, there's self-hate, there's embarrassment, there's letting myself down, there's disappointment, but one of them ends up that most of the time I don't hate myself and I don't want to punish myself with food. I don't want to lean into narratives that validate my poor choices. Like they say you're the average of the five closest people that you are to you, right? And so it's kind of like, do I want to be the average of people that parrot and support the demise of who I am? Like, I'm hoping the answer is no. Like, don't you want to be great? And maybe maybe you're like, Maddie, I don't believe I deserve great. And look, at some point, you don't have to listen to me. I mean, you don't have to listen to me at all, right? You can be like, I want to leave me alone. Fuck off, Maddie. Leave me with my ice cream and my shitty feelings and my fat acceptance frameworks and body positivity. I am just enjoying the fruits of the Western world and I don't care what disease I die of. I've seen that on TV and social media, and then I've watched some of those people get skinny because they obviously felt so uncomfortable. So don't lean into these narratives that just where people just talk shit, right? Basically. So now, clarifying statements. You are valuable. If you are contributing to society, then you are valuable. If you're a part of a family, it's highly likely you are valuable in that family. Right? Being your body type has no bearing on your ability to contribute, on your bearing to be a valuable person, to be an amazing mind, to be a very loving family member. Not saying any of that stuff. Human beings have inherent worth, but human beings are not inherently healthy when we live lives that lead to us having a disproportionate amount of body fat. And you might say, Maddie, who are you to tell us whether or not we're healthy or whether or not being overweight is a good thing? I'll tell you why, because I live in a country where I pay tax. And that tax, a significant portion of that tax goes towards the healthcare system. And the more overweight people we have, the more people that are using the healthcare system that my taxes pay for. So for that reason, I believe my voice in the conversation, not only as a weight loss expert, but also as a contributing tax-paying member of society, I believe I have a say in this conversation, right? Because I barely ever use the healthcare system, right? And I still pay the same tax as most people, okay? So, and let's be honest, nobody wants to be going to hospitals all the time or doctors all the time. Like, I mean, some people get tied up in the narrative of like, oh, I'm a sick person and that's the only way that I can get love and attention and validation and people care about me when I'm sick. That's some mindset shit we need to work on. You're caught up in stories that probably happened when you were a child. And it's not uncommon. I've had people in my family that have had that experience. Not my immediate family, anyway. But the point is that where it's like, I only get love and attention and care when I'm sick, right? So we need to rewire that stuff as well. And you might need to actually just get better people around you rather than these shit people who don't love you the way you want to be loved. Anyway, hypocrites. Don't follow them. Don't listen to them. What you really need to do is either eat well, suffer through the discomfort of eating well. By the way, eating well can taste delicious and amazing very easily. We do that with my sister's company, Megla Chef Spices. Psychological work. So a big part of what I've talked about with mindset and beliefs and limitations and the way that you think about yourself is your psychology. We need to do mindset work. We need to do self-love work. We need to do self-respect work, right? Behavior and habits first, then food. And we also want to do supplemental and mitochondrial support, because if you're not actually able to burn the body fat that you've got, if you're not able to actually burn the fuel that you put into the tank every day, then you're not going to go anywhere. So we need a supplement stack that actually helps your body recover, because there's psychology and behavior, and then there's biology. And the truth is, many people that are overweight have done damage. There's been damage that needs to be repaired. Not everybody, but I know from experience, we've had heaps of people through my program. Many people lost weight. Bunch of people didn't lose weight. And those people need more support from the physical side of things with mitochondrial support and a supplement stack that actually helps them recover. So if you are at all interested in having support from myself doing the mindset psychology work along with a supplement stack that'll actually help your mitochondria burn that body fat that you want to get rid of, then please scroll to the show notes, click the link, and let's get into a conversation, because I'm the real weight loss coach. And as you've just discovered, I give it to you real. I ain't talking shit. Or maybe you think I am talking shit. So remember, I guess to wrap this up, if you want to take drugs and you want to enjoy being in an overweight, unhealthy, falling apart body, then that's your choice. I'm just some random guy on the internet, okay? Book in your surgery, get your Ozempic, whatever it is. But know this, a lack of discipline and poor habits will catch up with you pretty soon. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of the show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is. Loving what you're hearing? Make sure you're subscribed here on your favorite podcast app. Or there's even more waiting for you over on YouTube. On our channel, you'll get to see our fascinating guests demonstrate their techniques in real time. You'll see my animated explanation of complex health concepts made simple. Plus all of those you had to be there moments that we mentioned in the show. The Coaching with Maddie episodes will be there too. We're also creating exclusive YouTube shorts. Quick, powerful health tips you won't find anywhere else. And let's face it, if we're going to be doom scrolling, which we all do from time to time, you might as well make it worthwhile. Just search How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast on YouTube and hit subscribe to unlock the visual side of becoming a healthy friend of the show. Because sometimes you need to see it to believe it. And also, to achieve it. The direct link is in the show notes below. Come and join our YouTube community.